It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
How should faith influence relationships with non-believers? I think that was a very genuine, a very real, and a very important question to ask. I'm not making commentary about the other questions, I'm making commentary about this question. And I'm happy Pastor Andrew Kandawira is here to answer this question. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Nai. How are you?
I am well. Thank you very much, Pastor. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Lovely. Our question for today, how should faith influence our relationships with non-believers?
All right. Could I qualify the question to romantic relationships? Is that what, do I understand that is what the question intends to find out?
Well, you could include romantic relationships. Since you have identified romantic relationships, perhaps you could begin with romantic relationships. But I do imagine it goes to friendships, to business partnerships, and so forth.
All right. Okay. Now that we have clarity on the question, maybe we could answer it better. Let's begin with romantic relationships. And so, if it is romantic relationships, there are two layers to this question. The marriage. And then the other is the unmarried. And so, these are two categories of people who are in romantic relationships, but they may be married and others may not be married. And so, for both, the Bible has counsel for us. Start with the unmarried. The Bible tells us not to engage in romantic relationships with unbelievers. Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because what concord does truth have with lawlessness or unrighteousness? And so, for romantic relationships, biblical counsel is don't do it. Amos in chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And so, if it is going to be a romantic relationship, it has to be where we have agreement in our faith. Now, for those who are already married to unbelievers, the Bible also has counsel. I wish we could read this, but I think I don't have the time.
No, go ahead. Please go ahead, read it.
We can?
Yes, sir.
Great. All right, thank you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7,
yes,
verse 12 to 16. The Bible says in the New King James Version, it says, but to the rest I say, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. A woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy because of the sanctification of the one party to the marriage. And then verse 15 says, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. Verse 16 says, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? And so for the married, Paul says, it has already been done. Keep married. Do not divorce because one is an unbeliever. What you do in this case is live like a believer, act like a believer, and let your faith influence the other positively, so that you may, with your practice of faith, win the other to the faith also. Because that's what Paul is saying. How do you know, oh wife, whether you will save your husband? And so if you are an unbelieving wife married to a believing husband, the husband is obligated by God to behave in such a manner that his faith will have a positive influence on his unbelieving wife. Now, that is a lot of work to do. And so for the unmarried, Paul counsels us and tells us, don't even do it in the first place, because when you marry, the work becomes harder. But for those who are already married, you're already married, so do the hard work and win over the unbelieving husband or wife to Christ. Now, in a case where this is a mere friendship or business friendship, business partnership, it is just friendship between an unbeliever and a believer, we are counseled by God to behave in such a manner that we don't lower our guard, we don't lower our standards. And so our faith should be the one that gets to have a positive influence on the other party, the unbelieving party. Now, the truth of the matter is this. When one is standing on a table, four-footed table, they're standing on top of it, and one is standing on the ground, like same ground, the one who is on the table will likely have a harder time pulling the one who is standing on firm ground to the table than the one who is on firm ground would have pulling the one on a table back to the ground. And so when we are believers and we interact with unbelievers, we are standing on a table. That means that we have a harder time, a harder job to do influencing those who are unbelievers by our faith. Mm. That means, dear brothers and sisters, that it is far easier for them to pull us to their side than it is for us to pull them to our side. That means that we should not lower the guard. We should not drop our guard, because our task is harder than theirs, because we are not standing on firm ground. We must do a harder job than they who are standing on firm ground. It is easier for human beings to be lawless. It is easier for human beings to have a weak spiritual backbone. And so those who are unbelievers find it much easier to have influence over those who are believers. But because our job is to influence our friends positively, whether in business or whatever form of relationship, we should remain faithful to our faith and not drop our guard. Paul says, do it with meekness, in humbleness, lest thinking that you are standing, you fall. And so we should be careful in our interactions. One of the things that Christians find hard to do is to interact with those that just want nothing to do with Christianity. When we are not firmly grounded in our Christianity, those who want nothing to do with the Bible or Christ, those have an upper hand over those of us who are Christians and yet not firmly grounded in our Christianity. And so we need to be grounded first in our Christianity so that we are immovable. Whatever obstacles we meet along the way, we are unshaken. When we stand in such a manner, we are able to meet with whatever obstacles, whoever it is, whether atheist or Muslim or whatever they be, for as long as they don't have our faith, we will be able to stand our ground because we are grounded in our faith. And so, first things first, humble yourselves, be humble, knowing you could fall at any time, because it is easier to fall than to stand.
So, how do you define an unbeliever?
I ask this question all the time when we come to this point, Pastor, because I hold the view that though there was a Judas in the midst of the disciples, Judas was not a believer. And therefore, we could have believers in the midst of those who are followers or claiming to be followers of Christ. And therefore, in my view, there could be an Adventist, a baptized member of the Adventist church who is not a believer. So your definition, what is your definition? And perhaps if I were to challenge you, what is the biblical definition of an unbeliever?
All right. You are absolutely right in your assertion. We have plenty of Adventists who are unbelievers. And so the Bible says that when we confess Christ as having come in the flesh, then we are believers. So Christ as the Son of God who came in the flesh, then we are believers. Now, Jesus himself says that if you do my words, if you obey my words, then you love me, then you are my disciples. And the world, and if you love each other, the world will know that you are my disciples. And so being believers is a lot more than being Adventist or going to a Christian church, for that matter. It is understanding the words of Christ, confessing Jesus as one's Lord and Savior, and living up to the best of your ability, living up to the words of your Lord and Savior personally. That is what it means to be a believer. Now, there is something that is something known as one's faith, the faith, which goes beyond being a believer. Because I could be a Christian from any other denomination and still confess Christ and still live by according to my abilities, try to live up to the words of Christ and not be of a particular denomination. That is beyond believing. That is faith now. So we are of different faith. We believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we are of different faith. And when it comes to our relationship as Adventists, when it comes to our relationship with those who are of other faith, we ought to act in such a manner that we win them over, that we stand true to the words of Christ, so that our faith is not trampled down by our own behavior and how those we are interacting with see us. So two layers here. Unbelievers in the church, Adventists, but they don't live up to the words of Christ. They do confess Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they don't live accordingly. Those are unbelievers. They say, Lord, Lord, but their hearts are far from him. Those are unbelievers. Those who are outside the faith are qualified as unbelievers because of the difference in our faith. They could believe Christ is Lord and Savior. They could live up to his words according to the Bible, but they are different according to our faith. Those are of a different faith.
So kindly explain what you mean by that, Pastor, when you're saying they do confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but still are categorized as unbelievers. Do we have a biblical, again I ask, a biblical definition of an unbeliever? Surely the biblical definition does not include denominationalism, right?
Yes. So in that case, like I said earlier, you have somebody who is not of your faith. Let's just simply say they are not Adventist.
Right.
They are Christians. They are from a Christian denomination,
right,
but not an Adventist denomination.
Right.
They confess Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.
Right.
And according to their ability, according to how they understand the words of Christ, they live up the words of Christ. Those are believers according to the biblical definition.
Right.
Because the biblical definition simply says that when one confesses Christ as having come from the Father,
right,
as the Son of God, and they live up to his words, they are believers.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. And they will be saved. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
So says Paul in Romans and John in his letters. And so that is the biblical definition of believers.
Right.
Now, if they are of a different denomination,
right,
they are not per se unbelievers because they believe in Christ as
yes.
their Lord and Savior.
Right.
They live up to his words, but they are of a different denomination. The difference between them and Adventists is not the fact that they don't believe, that they are unbelievers. The difference is simply that we are of different faiths. So they are a different faith than the Adventist faith.
So can you be yoked that with those people since they are believers?
Wait a minute. It doesn't include them as unbelievers because they believe in Christ.
Right.
Now, as to yoking with them, because of the difference in faith, Amos still asks us the question, can two walk together? And can two walk together unless they are agreed? And so, if we have a difference in the faith, we are not agreed in faith. Thus, when we come back to Paul, when he speaks of being unequally yoked with unbelievers, it still qualifies simply because of our difference in agreement in faith. And so that makes them unequally yoked.
But
not
Pastor,
with unbelievers, but with people of a different faith.
So Paul's caution is not about faith or denominationalism or political persuasion or dress code or language.
Uh-huh.
All of these other things that are man-made and human-manufactured, they're not Paul's a point of caution. He's not cautioning us against denominationalism or sartorial choices. He's cautioning us about believing or non-believing. Why do we see the need to include other factors that Paul did not include?
Because faith is equally as important as belief.
According to
who?
Paul didn't mention faith. He mentioned belief. Why do we add to the scriptures what Paul did not write?
I love how you ask your questions. I actually absolutely enjoyed yesterday's conversation, the entire day with Pastor Shumba and our pastor from Malawi.
Right.
I absolutely loved it. In answer to your question, the thing is this. When Amos asks us the question, can two walk together unless they are agreed?
Right.
In answer to that question, we find that we are not agreed in our faith.
Right.
Now, when Paul speaks of being unequally yoked, he simply speaks of being unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Right.
That means, by biblical definition, those who don't believe in Christ.
Right.
However, because of the difference in faith, when we answer Amos' question, we will find that the answer would be no, because we have different faith. We don't believe, we don't agree in our faith, in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we have a difference there. So we still cannot walk together because of that difference. And so when we come back to Paul, who is speaking broadly about those who don't believe in Christ, his same counsel will still apply for those of us whose difference is simply faith. Though we may all, both believe in Christ, but we believe in Christ differently because of our different faith, it would still apply. This very counsel would still apply because what Paul is saying here is a principle. The counsel he is giving us is a principle of safeguarding ourselves from troublesome marriages. The very principle would still apply for those people who have differences in faith, simply because of the disagreement in faith.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. I'll take that, Pastor. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much
for
your insights.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, we'll meet together again tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a wonderful day,
indeed,
brother, Pastor. All right.
Thank you so much. Wonderful day to you too.
Thank you very much, Mvunis. That's how we end our conversation with Pastor, who is giving us some perspective. Pastor Andrew Mkandawire is here, or has been here for the whole week, and he's going to be here again tomorrow to answer more of your questions. Again, I want to encourage you, if you have a question, please do not hesitate. Come through with your question. We'll find you a pastor, and the pastor will answer your question. Don't worry. we will not let it go until the pastor is able to help us understand it from the various perspectives and dimensions of your question.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.